You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This episode is being released on March 3rd, 2022. This week, we're going to be talking about the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Why did Vladimir Putin start a war with Ukraine? Is this part of the Bible's end time prophecies? Is God actually behind all of this? There are a lot of questions that surround this and a lot of confusion right now. So we're going to be discussing that in our episode this week. For links to the story we're talking about, as well as related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/0303-22. Now for our story this week. Pat Robertson claims Putin's invasion of Ukraine is, quote, being compelled by God, end quote, to fulfill biblical prophecy. From Raw Story, it says, as Russia's invasion of Ukraine has blown up into a conflict of horrific atrocities against civilians, nations around the world have lined up to condemn it, even historically neutral countries such as Switzerland. But former televangelist Pat Robertson, who came out of his retirement to weigh in on the situation, sees something even grander in the whole affair. According to him, Vladimir Putin is being willed by God to conduct the invasion as a way of triggering the end times. I think you can say, well, Putin's out of his mind, and yes, maybe so, said Robertson, but at the same time, he's being compelled by God. He went into Ukraine, but that wasn't his goal. His goal was to move against Israel, ultimately. Now, during this past week, the news has been dominated by talk about the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The decision by Vladimir Putin to wage an unprovoked war against a neighboring country has been widely condemned, as it should be. However, former televangelist Pat Robertson has decided to come out and give us his two cents, and I may be generous in saying that his opinion is worth that much. But he was giving his opinion about this terrible situation, and rather than condemning Putin, he suggests that maybe he's sort of out of his mind, but really, he thinks that God is behind it and is compelling Putin to invade Ukraine. So according to Pat Robertson, God is the one behind this. God was the one who sent the Russian army to go to war against the Ukrainians. Why would God do this? Well, according to Pat Robertson, this was to help usher in the end times. And according to Pat Robertson, Russia's ultimate goal is to go after Israel. As much as I think Pat Robertson ought to be ignored, I felt compelled by my own conscience to address his statement here. The reason why Robertson is a famous televangelist is because there are a lot of people who listen to him and believe what he says. And even though he's retired, he still has a lot of influence. And the misconceptions he has about the end times and biblical prophecy, people accept this as if it were from the Bible. In fact, Robertson said, "You read your Bible because it's coming to pass." Actually, I wish people would read their Bible, because if they did, they would see that there's nothing in there about a Russian invasion of Ukraine as a prophesied event at the end of the world. So with his comments in mind, I want to briefly address two concepts people have that are both related to this issue or this current event as it's going on now. First is the end times. Second is God's use of governments today. On the first point, many religious people are interested in the end times and trying to determine when the Lord will return and when this world is going to end. I wrote about this several years ago when Harold Camping was making his Judgment Day predictions, and there's a link to that in the show notes. Supposedly, according to Camping, the day of judgment was going to be on May 21st, 2011. And surprise, surprise, it wasn't on May 21st, 2011. Throughout the years, many people have predicted different dates for when the Lord will return, and each one of those dates has passed, and the so-called prophecies were left unfulfilled. And even though Robertson didn't give a date for the end times, he was saying that this was a sign of the end times. But are there going to be signs that we can look to and that we can see that indicate that the end is coming? Much of the confusion comes when people look at passages that describe various national judgments in the Bible and apply them to the judgment at the end of the world. This is often done with passages like Matthew chapter 24, where in that chapter Jesus said, "You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes." You've probably heard bits and pieces of that quote applied to the end times and things that are going on now. Wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation. Jesus also said in that chapter that there will be a great tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. That's in verse 21 of Matthew 24. Throughout those verses, he was warning his followers of this destruction that was coming so that they might escape it, that they might be able to flee to the mountains, as he says in verse 16. He gave all of these signs so that they would see what was coming and be able to escape. The destruction he was talking about was not the end of the world, because no one is escaping that. Instead, he was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. And so he gives all of these signs that they can look to see that this is coming, this is about to take place. And for those who were in the city, they could get out of the city before they were destroyed. However, toward the end of the chapter, Jesus shifted focus to another day. That day would not be like the destruction of Jerusalem, because there would be no signs pointing to its coming. He said in verse 36 to 39, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be." This day that Jesus is talking about here, which he would describe in the next chapter as one that would seal our final fate, that day is the day of judgment at the end of the world. And there would be signs that would point to the destruction of Jerusalem coming in AD 70. But the only so-called signs that the end of the world is coming, Jesus said, are the same signs that existed in Noah's day that indicated that the flood was coming. Well, what were those signs? You had God's people teaching. Noah was a preacher of righteousness and preparing. Noah was building the ark. Those are the only so-called signs that exist today. There are no signs that tell us the end of the world is near, except the people of God preparing to stand before the Lord in judgment and teaching others to do the same. So, did Russia invade Ukraine to help set the stage for the end times? No. And there's nothing in the Bible that talks about Russia or Ukraine and these nations going to war against one another and that ushering in the end time. Jesus said, of that day, no one knows, and there are no signs that you can point to say that this day is coming. So if the war between Russia and Ukraine is not a sign of the end times, well, then what's going on? Well, that leads us to our second point that we're talking about here today: God's use of human governments today. Pat Robertson claimed that God was compelling Vladimir Putin to invade Ukraine. And many Christians may not go so far as to say it the way that Robertson did, but they do believe that God must somehow be working behind the scenes in these matters. This is partly based upon a misconception of Paul's comments about civil government in Romans 13. In that passage, Paul wrote, "Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves." It's Romans 13, 1 and 2. The foundation of Paul's instructions about civil authorities is the fact that God is the ultimate authority. There is no authority except from God, Paul said. And whoever resists this authority is resisting God. And incidentally, when Paul says, whoever resists authority, that whoever includes civil leaders. They are held accountable by God. If they resist what God has ordained with respect to civil authorities, they are opposing God. And that's what Paul was talking about. God ordained a purpose or a function for civil authorities. And he explained what this purpose or function is in verses 3 and 4. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. For those who believe that Vladimir Putin has been ordained by God to invade Ukraine and send his armies in to destroy the lives of innocent citizens in that country, reread those verses, Romans 13, 3 and 4, and what the civil authorities are to be doing, what they have been ordained by God to do. A leader like Putin and what he's doing is not fulfilling God's purpose for him. Rather than not being a cause of fear for good behavior, his army is killing innocent citizens of another country. Is he acting as God's minister for the good to the people of Ukraine? Rather than bearing the sword to bring wrath on the one who practices evil, he's bearing the sword on those who have provoked no one and are not worthy of any type of punishment like that. Civil authorities are to act as God's ministers. But when leaders act as Putin has, they are not acting as God's ministers. Instead, they are acting as Satan's ministers. But why would I say that? Notice what the church in Smyrna was told in Revelation 2:10. They were told, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." A lot of times when we quote that verse, we quote the last part of it, "Be faithful until death, I will give you the crown of life." But the first part of that verse is important too. Jesus said the devil was going to cast them into prison. He did not mean that Satan was going to take some physical form and find these Christians and drag them off to jail. Who was casting them into prison? The civil authorities were casting them into prison. They may have been ordained to function as God's ministers, but by their actions, they were doing the work of the devil. The devil is casting you into prison. So the civil authorities were doing the work of the devil by throwing these Christians into prison. Civil authorities who harm the innocent and carry out evil acts like this are not doing God's work. They are doing Satan's work. And for those who think that Putin is acting as God's minister, whether it's Pat Robertson or whoever believes this, if he's acting as God's minister, what is the president of Ukraine? Whose minister is he acting as? If Putin's trying to kill the Ukrainian people, and the leader of Ukraine is trying to defend the people, which one of them is acting as God's minister when they are directly opposed to one another? And one is trying to kill and one is trying to defend and keep his people from being killed. That's a question we need to consider. For those who say that, well, this must be God's will. This God must be compelling him to do this. Who then is the leader of Ukraine? Is he acting as God's minister or not? I.B. Grubbs, a preacher who lived from 1833 to 1912, had a good comment explaining this concept in his commentary on Romans. He said, "How is the civil ruler a minister of God to thee for good?" He said, "Paul is not talking about men who pervert their offices, but those who enforce justice. If a ruler does not perform his duty, he is disobeying the civil authority and divine justice." In other words, what Grubbs is saying is that leaders are still under the authority of God, which we've already mentioned. That was the foundation of Paul's argument. Civil authorities were ordained so that they might punish evildoers, protect the innocent, and provide an environment of peace. That's outlined in Romans 13, 3 and 4 and 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Civil authorities who rebel against God and choose to terrorize and destroy the innocent, they are no longer bearing the sword as they should, but instead stand to have the sword borne against them. That's what Romans 13 is about. So with this situation going on with Russia and Ukraine and the war that's going on, there's a lot of misconceptions about the end times and about the function of government and what God ordained with respect to government. And it's important that we understand what the Bible teaches about these things so we're not led astray by Pat Robertson or anyone else and be led to believe that somehow God is sending Putin in to destroy the Ukrainians and ushering in the end times, because that's not what's going on here. You can read more about this topic with links in the show notes about the judgment day predictions that people make and different things about the end times and also what we've talked about with government. And I've also got a link to that, the commentary by I.B. Grubbs on the book of Romans, if you wanted to check that out. But that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this to be interesting and informative and helpful. For links to the news story that we talked about and those other links that I mentioned just briefly, you can visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/0303-22. The Plain Bible Teaching Podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. If you use those platforms, please subscribe and rate the podcast there. If you know of others who'd be interested in this episode or the podcast as a whole, please share this with them, and I would appreciate that. And if you see a new story that you think would make for a good discussion, some other topic that you think might be good for us to cover, email that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.